listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
In the Bible, the prophet Habakkuk, an Old Testament prophet, reminds us of a time when circumstances were very, very difficult in Israel. In the book of Habakkuk, and I want you to turn to that portion. Actually, we're going to look at the third chapter, but in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk and God are having a dialogue, a conversation about troubles to come. And Habakkuk, he doesn't like the news that's coming his way. However, and we're going to read about it, he expresses his faith in God. That's a good thing. And he rejoices in the Lord, and that's an even better thing, because it shows us how he has processed his circumstances before the Lord. Which brings us to the place, even in our trials. So turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17, 18, and 19. Because these verses tell the story. It says there, though the fig tree may not blossom. I mean, you know, that's not a good thing. Nor fruit on the vines. That too is not a good thing. Though the labor of the olive may fall. That's not good news either. And the fields yield no food. We're talking famine, church. Though the flocks may be cut off from the field and there is no herd in the stalls. That's a tough place to find yourself. Here's what Habakkuk says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will keep and make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high hills. Powerful passage of scripture. Habakkuk here understands. Listen carefully. Because I'm going to make a pretty profound statement here. Habakkuk understands that worship and faith are not rooted in our circumstances. See, when you come into the house of the Lord and you give yourself in worship, it's not based on your circumstances of the week. Habakkuk learned a very key lesson here that we need to apply to our lives as well. He says that our worship and our faith are rooted in God's covenant faithfulness. Our hope is not based on what we see or what we feel in the moment. Our worship and our faith is rooted in the eternal faithfulness of God and his proven word. That's a good place to anchor an amen. Habakkuk says that no matter how difficult things get, he said, I will. It's a choice. I will rejoice in the Lord. And I want to take you a little further in this. In fact, he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's interesting here that Habakkuk uses the word joy. Joy applied here is a verb, and the word literally means to jump and to dance. Because our joy and our confidence are in God's salvation and not in our circumstances. You got to get that, church. That's Christianity 101. If we don't get that, the enemy will use your circumstances to flip you upside down, and he will use it to work against the things of God and whatever God wants to do in your life. And the prophet declares that though our eyes may not yet see it, we can rejoice. Why? Because in eternity, in God's sovereign plan, it's already done. And I'm going to try to explain that to you, how that works in our day-to-day life and how we need to have a perspective likened to that. This kind of confidence can't be faked or worked up or hyped up. It is the flowering of faith which bursts forth in the midst of the most adverse trials that you're going to find yourself in. We rejoice even in the midst of our difficulties. Now, there's not a person in this room here today and those watching online that have not had difficulties. Some of you have had your fair share of adverse circumstances in your life. But because our confidence is in God, he will vindicate. And I want you to look at a couple Bible stories here. The first is James, the brother of Jesus. And he put it this way in James chapter 1, verses 2 through to 6. Let me read it. He says, James says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. By the way, perfect and complete there means mature and complete. Doesn't mean without flaws. I mean, there's a big difference between the two. So, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We don't rejoice in the pain, listen carefully, but in the gain that we know is coming. Let me say that again. We rejoice not in the pain, but in the gain that we know is coming. And I need you to understand this. Maybe this gain will come in your lifetime, or for sure it will happen in eternity. How many have prayed for somebody that has had cancer and you
every reason to believe that God would heal that person. And then what happens is they're taken from us. Okay? Then we can get confused. I've seen people healed of cancer. My own sister died of cancer. So there's a lot of ways to look at this. But in my sister's case, where she was not healed of cancer, when she was transported from this life to the presence of God, how many know she is in perfect health? And whatever happened in her life as a testimony goes forth is designed to bring others into the kingdom as well. Remember, don't rejoice in your pain, but rejoice in the gain that comes your way. Then we see the Apostle Paul, who is no stranger to difficulty. He reminds us in Romans chapter 5, and he says, we also glory in tribulations. That's an interesting statement. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. I need you to understand this. God's purposes always supersede our human reasoning. And you've got to know that God's ways are above our ways. And when you drop back into that understanding, it gives you a whole different perspective when you're dealing with hardships and struggles in your life. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you some kingdom investments. You talk about investing your resources, your money. I want to talk to you this morning about kingdom investments, kingdom investing. And there are three things that I actually want to talk about. And I hope we can gain by this. The first is the joy that is ahead for you and I. According to Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus, we there learn, endured the cross. What does it mean to endure the cross? It means he had to go through the process of the cross. The whole enchilada, folks, he had to go through the beatings, the trip up to Golgotha, being nailed to the cross, and all the pain that went with that. He had to endure the cross because, this is what the Bible says, because of the joy that was set before him. What joy is there in that? There's not a lot of human joy in that. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. He saw past the cross. He saw the fruit of what would be transpiring because of him going to the cross. This is good, church. You got to get this, because that translates down to your salvation and the joy in heaven over what has happened to you. That's the joy that Jesus saw when he was on the cross. And when he went to the cross, he knew of the victory and all the joys that would follow thereafter. We rest in the knowledge that even now, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. Everything that you're going through, everything that you've gone through this past week, this past month, Jesus is interceding on the before the Father on your behalf. By the way, that's good news, in case you didn't understand that. He's advocating for you. Our belief instructs us to take up our cross and follow after Jesus. That whoever would save his life must first lose it for his sake. And our belief is based on God's word that is built, hear me now, for storms and for earthquakes. And for whatever trial, whatever adversity you face. Let me say it this way. Covenant is not made for times of ease. God's covenant faithfulness is to us in Christ, and it is working through us, which carries us through the fiercest drought and any storm that'll come your way. The covenant relationship that exists between Christ and us. It's not because we enjoy the pain, but we hold to a truth that transcends and overcomes that pain. By faith. Say it with me. By faith. We can see a redemptive purpose in pain and rejoice then in God's faithfulness. God has made covenant with us and we with him. And I want you to always remember, it is his covenant that holds you, and it is his faithfulness that empowers you to be faithful so you can see the joy that is ahead of you, whether that comes in this life or whether it comes in eternity. It really doesn't matter, church, because at the end of the day, God has promised you that you have joy ahead in your life. Number two, investment. Nothing is too difficult for God. Absolutely nothing. Jeremiah, another Old Testament prophet, lived in one of the darkest days of Israel as the nation in his time frame was disintegrating. And Jeremiah warned the people, but there were very few people that received what he had to say. In fact, they were pretty angry at his words. Not only was Jeremiah stuck in Jerusalem. Hear me. Some of you are stuck in your situation. Here's how Jeremiah dealt with it. Not only was he stuck in his Jerusalem, but he was under arrest for speaking God's word. The double whammy. And Jeremiah had prophesied judgment, destruction, and his message, this message gets him in trouble. Church, we serve a God who routinely makes the impossible possible. And let me say, if we only act in accordance with the things we see with our natural eyes and with our natural ears, we're going to miss out on the most fundamental reality of all. We will squander unprecedented opportunity, not even realizing that that is existing, And sadly, then, our opportunity will be given to others. God's purpose in the earth will be fulfilled. Here's the question. Do we want to be a part of his plan? And let me say, true vision is the ability to see above and beyond our limited sight line. Get this truth and get it clearly in your thinking. God is able. Nothing's impossible with him. Let me give you the third investment. And it's the grain of wheat principle. If you're inclined to agriculture, this is pretty simple. But Scripture has a lot to say about this principle. And you and I, who are living in a day when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. By the way, we say that quite a bit, but how many know it's getting pretty intense? When people in high places can't tell the difference between a man and a woman, that's a problem. We're living in a day when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And we do not want to invest in that which can easily be destroyed. So you need to be careful where you're putting your energy and how you're investing. However, wise investments are costly. And I want to recommend to you this morning, kingdom investments. In this day and age, invest in the kingdom. It's going to require your time. It's going to require your energy. It's going to require money. It's going to require prayer, as we heard earlier on in this service. And when we give ourselves to relationships and causes where the Spirit of God has directed us, our seed, the Bible says, will be multiplied. And I'm here to tell you that if you make kingdom investments and invest your life in the kingdom, you can expect a bountiful harvest. The resources we invest in God's kingdom will grow and they will not diminish. Jesus said this, and by the way, when Jesus says something, he's our master, he's our Lord, he's the one we follow. So we better listen to what he has to say, because when he says something, it's more than E.F. Hutton. We step back and we listen. And here's what Jesus says. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." So in a time of shaking, many will be tempted to retreat or even hoard their seed. But God is calling us to step out in faith, church, to invest where the Lord is investing and to enjoy the harvest yet to come. We can see amazing things happen in Grays Harbor. God's stirring in Grays Harbor. And we can see wonderful things transpire in this church as well. That's the season in which we find ourselves. Now, whether you're sharing the gospel or mentoring someone in the faith, by the way, we should be doing both. We should be sharing the gospel throughout the week. We wake up in the morning We ask God, who do you want me to share truth with this week? And then when you find somebody that's receiving that, then we have a responsibility to mentor that person into productivity. So whether you're sharing the gospel or mentoring someone, giving your tithes, giving your offerings, even serving in our community, we do it all as unto the Lord, because He's consumed us and our life is about Him, pleasing Him and engaging Him. And He, the Bible says, is well pleased with that kind of an attitude. And I'm here to say, in the middle of whatever you find yourself in, He's going to supply your needs. He's going to meet you. He's not going to leave you forlorn, high and dry. God is going to be with you every step of the way. Hey, it's a good time to invest in the kingdom. No better time. And you're going to find, even in your adversity, as you have a perspective that God is going to see you through, whether in this life or whether in eternity, it's irrelevant. He's going to see you through, and He's going to produce good fruit from your life when you put yourself in the heart of the kingdom. It's a good day to trust God with your life. So I want you to stand to your feet this morning. And I'm just inclined to pray for you this morning to reinvest yourself in the things of God. Some of you have walked with Jesus for most of your life, if not all of your life. Some of you are what we would call newbies or new entries. That is, your faith journey has just begun, maybe even within the last week. Circumstances sometimes are out of our control. But I want you to take your circumstances this morning, whatever they are like, let's take the adverse ones, and let them be a reminder to us that God has not forgotten where you're at. Number one. Number two, let's flip that. Let that be a reminder to earnestly invest ourselves once again, can I say it another time, once again, in the things of God. Freddie Fender sang a song, Wasted Years and Wasted Nights. How many remember that? You look back over your life, maybe, and you think, man, I've wasted so many years. How many know God is quick to redeem that? Come on, church. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. Your wasted days now can be productive years for God. God doesn't waste a moment, but this is a turning point. You get to turn your life and trust Him in a new way. I want you all to lift your hands, and when we do that, we're just simply saying, Lord, here I am. I worship You. I exalt You as the Almighty. But my recognition that You're the Almighty isn't the end game. It just reminds us this morning that we need to trust You all the more. Lord, I lift up Your name in this place this morning. Thank You for this house. I even thank You, Lord, for the adverse circumstances, the pain that has come our way, because they are reminders that You never leave us nor forsake us in the midst of that circumstance. We can trust you and believe you and know that you will be with us if we are making kingdom investments. Lord, change our perspective to realize there is joy. There's joy ahead. And we can live in that kind of reality. That there's nothing that is too difficult for you. And furthermore, Lord, we die to ourselves, there's a great harvest. Spend us, Lord, the way you want to spend us. For the sake of this community, the lives that are in this community, that are in the balances, the turbulence of this past week, remind us that this is a hurting spot on the planet. I'm praying, Lord, that somehow, some way, you will change the climate. So many have said this is grace harvest. May the kingdom of God come to this region like it is in heaven. And use us, spend us, Lord. Cause us to make investments that are in keeping with your purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Our prayer team is here to pray with you still further. There are needs in your life that you are needing encouragement with. Not denying the fact that you're going through stuff, but realizing you need help. We want to pray with you and for you. So I'm going to invite you to come and join in on that prayer. We're going to dismiss you. If you've got kids to pick up, they're here, and nobody's taking them. They're here, they're waiting for you as parents. And we want you, kids, to get ready for your next great adventure this afternoon. But I want you to keep your focus, your perspective, on the fact that God is absolutely in control, even in the midst of your adverse circumstances in life. So go with God this week and have victory, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.org.